Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the lost chapter of the Bible. Nope, it's not that lost. We found it in Luke chapter 15. It's called the lost chapter because there Jesus speaks three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and as I call it, the two lost boys. Now, those of you who are older like me and have been in the church, you remember this parable being called the parable of the prodigal son, the younger son, who was a party animal and wanted to get away from home and live it up. But in the early church, this parable was already known as the parable of the elder brother, because Jesus told this story against the Missouri Synod, the Jews who thought that theirs was the only right way. And he convicted them because they acted like the elder brother of this story. If you are able, please rise for the reading of the text. Then Jesus said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the property.' So he divided his property between them. After a few days, the younger son gathered everything together, left home for a distant country, and there squandered all that he had in wild living. When he had spent it all, a severe famine came over that country, and he started to be in need. He went and attached himself to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into the fields to feed hogs. And he would have been glad to fill up on the pods that the hogs were eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more food than they can eat? And here I am starving to death. I shall go up and go to my father and tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son any longer. Make me one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still far away, his father saw him, felt sorry for him, ran, put his arms around him, and kissed him. 'Father,' the son told him, 'I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son anymore.' The father told his servants, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let's eat and begin to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was out in the field. As he was coming in and approaching the house, he heard music and dancing. After he called one of the servants, he asked, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come home,' he was told, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back, safe and sound.' Then the older brother became angry and would not go in. So his father came out and begged him. But he answered his father, 'All these years, I've been working like a slave for you and have never disobeyed a command of yours. But you never give me even a little goat to celebrate with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came back, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' Son, the father said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad. This brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is our text. In the name of Jesus, who found us when we were lost, and of course the entire parable is directed to you and me also, because the earthly father in this story and the two lost boys are really pictures of the heavenly father accepting you and me back after we have been lost. For Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says we were born dead in trespasses and sins. And the father in this story says, my son was dead, but he has now come to life, and we come to life through faith in Jesus Christ. What a parable. I think this is the greatest parable that Jesus ever spoke. Maybe you like the parable of the lost sheep better or one of the others, but I think by the time we get done today, you may reconsider that because, oh, I have to wait to the ending to tell you why. Let's get going with the story. Jesus has all these Jews before him who are unwilling to forgive. And so he tells this story about these two sons. The younger son, the one who can't wait to get away from home. You know, like the teenagers we have, and we say, well, just hold out until you're 17 or 18. Then the day you turn, move right on out, get your own apartment, live out there for a year, and then you'll probably be back in a year and live there till you're 37 years old. You know, that kind of a problem. Well, anyway, this kid could not wait to get away. He said to his father, give me my share of the property. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but the father right there divided his property up between the younger son and the older. The older got his inheritance also, the promise of it. Now, the older brother always got two-thirds of everything. And if there were any other children, they split up the final third. This young man was very lucky. He was the only other son, so he got the whole one-third, and he couldn't wait to clean out his bedroom and hit the wall for the big city because of the fact, well, he wanted to party. He wanted to have a good time. Booze and sex. Somebody says, how dare you mention sex? It's in the text. I can do it. Jesus mentioned it. We'll get to it in just a little bit. Anyway, it says he headed out, and of course, he did what most young people do. He squandered everything he had with wild living. Man, did he find the friends. He had tons of friends who would help him spend his money. And then he ran out of money, and he was all alone out in that big, bad world. Well, there was only one thing for him to do. You know, something that a lot of people don't want to do today. Get a job. So he got a job. Jesus knows how to tell the stories. Oh, he is such a great storyteller. You see, the Jews don't believe in eating pork, right? So he has this young sinner working for a pork farmer, feeding the hogs, and even wanting to eat hog food. Oh, that rubs it right on in. And Jesus' crowd is right with him. Go tell it like it is. That's until he turns the tables on them at the end of the parable. Anyway, here's this young man who has been very foolish, starving to death, and then this great phrase in the Bible, great translation into the English, when he came to his senses. Now, your parents are always waiting for their kids to come to their senses, right? That's how we look at it as we grow older, right? And the kids think the parents don't know much. Father knows not best. And so this man finally comes to his senses. He says to himself, wow, how many hired men does my father feed every day? And they got more than they can even eat. And I'm out here with nothing to eat. Am I crazy or not? I think I'll go home, but I'll go home humbly, and I'll say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Real humility. Make me one of your hired men. I don't want the son status. Just make me one of your hired men. He's got the whole thing rehearsed, the whole speech ready to go, and walking home probably sadly with his head down. So that it now says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still far away, his father saw him. That's great theology, by the way. You may say, I want to know, is there a God, all that. But the Father has to find you. He's been looking for you from the time that you were born because he was your creator. And then it's interesting. We have a fivesome. That means human experience. The Father saw him, felt sorry for him, ran, put his arms around him, kissed him. Five is always human experience. The Father experiences this great joy of having his son back home. Oh, but the boy's got his speech rehearsed. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I do not deserve to be called your son anymore. Stop. Father doesn't even let him get to the third part about I'll be a hired hand. He stops him. No hired hand. This is his son. How many of you as parents, as grandparents, have watched someone in the family kind of go to the distant country? And do you go and call them back? Well, the more you call, the more you reprimand, the more you beg, the farther they go. So sometimes you have to learn patience and let the Lord work the whole thing out. Well, the father is so elated. He says, quickly, bring out a robe, the best robe that we have. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Show that he belongs. And sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf. Kill it. Let's eat. Let's begin to celebrate. The father is absolutely ecstatic. He says, the reason for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate a party that was way better than those parties in the far country. Now the story shifts. Now Jesus gets to his main point, the audience that is so critical all the time. He says now his older son, the older brother, was out in the field, all working like a slave. And he was coming in and approaching the house after a hard day's work. And he heard music and dancing. After he called one of the servants, he said, what's going on in there? Oh, your brother's come home, he was told. And your father's killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Everybody's happy except Mr. Sourpuss, the older brother. Then the older brother became angry and would not go in. We start the pity party. So the father came out and begged him. Notice the love that the father has for both sons. He wants them both to be celebrating. But he answered his father, all these years I've been working like a slave for you. Oh, get the violin out. And let's play some sad music. Oh, I've been working so hard. And I have never disobeyed a command of yours. Wow, I tell you, that's the most unusual kid I've ever met. Have you ever met a child, grandchild, that obeys everything that they are told? The guy's a liar. He says, but you never gave me even a little goat to celebrate with my friends. Oh my goodness, the tears should just flow that this kid was so mistreated, being at home with the father, having plenty to eat, being in charge, getting the inheritance, and not thankful for any of it. Oh, then he puts the zinger in. Oh, this is real clever. You know he's still got the old Adam in his heart by what he says. The elder son says to the father, but as soon as this son of yours came back, notice he doesn't call him his brother. He says, this son of yours. Remember Adam in the garden? When God confronted them with sin, what did Adam say? The woman you gave me. So he's saying, this son of yours came back, and he was the one who devoured your property with prostitutes. How does he know that? Was he in the far country with the brother? You know how parents, if their kids go off and get in a wild spree, a certain period of their life, as I said to you just a few moments ago, to go and beg them to come back or try to coerce them probably will drive them farther away. This father knew that. He probably sent slaves out there to check on the boy from a distance, secret service, if you will. And maybe he even sent the elder brother, because I think we got a problem here with the elder brother, because he is also lost. You see, you can be lost in a far country of sin. You can also be lost in a pew at church, very near God, but very far from him in your heart. This boy was at home, very, very far away. And you know what you sense here? Wow, this older brother was kind of jealous of the younger brother out there having all those that fun with the prostitutes and with drinking and everything. So you have to read between the lines what is going on here. This boy is extremely jealous, and what's he really jealous about? Greed. If the younger brother comes back home, maybe he'll have to share some of the father's money, the inheritance that would go to the older brother. Oh, get rid of the kid. Why are we celebrating? And he says, and you killed the fattened calf for him. All kinds of jabs and turning the knife into the father who is happy that a son has been found. But notice how the father handles the situation. He doesn't get angry and order the son to come in. Won't work. He is very gentle with him. He says, son. And this one is not worthy to be a son. But he says, son, you are always with me. There's the key to the ball game, isn't it? You have everything. You do not need to go to the far country where your brother was. You've had everything right here. And of course, that reminds us of Jesus, who has given us everything when we stay at home with him in faith. But all of us are tempted by Satan, by the old attitude, by the old Adam, by the old man, to go out into that far country and try to walk with one foot for God and the other foot for the world. And then the father says, and everything I have is yours. He says, you're a winner. Appreciate. And then he goes on to say, but we had to celebrate and be glad. This brother of yours, oh, that's clever. Is Jesus a great storyteller or not? The one says, oh, that son of yours. And Jesus says, that brother of yours was dead and has come to life, and for the second time, he was lost and has been found. And my question today, the first one is, are you lost or are you found? And I want to tell you why this is the greatest parable of everything that Jesus told. There's no ending to the story. Hello, Jesus, say more. Well, he didn't. He left it open so it applies to you and me in all generations. What does he not say? He does not say four things. First of all, he doesn't tell you if the younger son went back to the far country later after he grew tired of home. He also doesn't tell you if that younger brother stayed home and appreciated what he had. On the other hand, He doesn't tell you whether the older brother came into the party and celebrated, and he doesn't tell you if the elder brother stayed outside and pouted. Wow, you and I fit into one of those four categories at any given time in our life. And here's your question today. Are you in the far country today? Or are you back at home with your God dedicated? Are you outside the party refusing to celebrate because you're jealous of others or whatever the reason is? Or have you come into the party to celebrate? You know, there's all kinds of ways to be in the far country. I know in churches often you can have couples that are the best of friends. Then maybe one of the wives gets angry with the other woman, or one of the men gets angry with the other man. And then the spouse, of course, is no longer allowed to be friends with the other one's spouse because we aren't going to forgive. That's staying in the far country or outside party time. And all you're doing is punishing yourself. Just like this boy, how can you eat the fattened calf if you're outside and won't go in? You see, this is a very pertinent parable for all of us every single moment of our life, because we are in one of those four categories. There is no fifth category. You're either in the far country or you're at home. You're either outside the party or you're inside the party. Now, in a moment, we're going to the Lord's Supper, and we say, Lord, I want to be inside the party. I'm here to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to receive everything that you have to give to me, because I was lost, and you found me with the Holy Spirit and brought me to faith. And communion is the way that the Lord holds us close to himself, so we don't wander back out into the far country or pout and stay outside the party. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.